Radio. Well, good afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and the show is A Progressive Life, and we're going to bring on Dr. Ronald Feinberg. I did it twice. Dr. Ronald Feinberg.
Oh, my. A fine man. Think of me as
a fine man. Very fine man, and probably the best I know. There you go. Feinberg.
Where did that come from? I'm doing fine. I was listening to some of that discussion. Who was that gentleman that was on the phone talking about the Lincoln documentary?
I'm not sure who that was.
He was quite knowledgeable. I was going to say he was quite good on that, yes. However, I would disagree
about
the fact that slavery was not the biggest issue. It was the only really important issue. States' rights is an old Southern Confederate myth to say that's why they fought. They were fighting to protect slavery because they wanted to keep people in bondage. And any decent historian would say that.
Okay. Well, you know, there's always difference of opinion, especially around Ohio. I don't know why that is, but we do that. But I tell you what, I'm going to jump right into something that I didn't even put in my little ad about today's show, because you mentioned to me it might be something of interest to go over. Talk to us about how we've had so many vice presidents that haven't really gotten along with the president.
Yes, I read your thing. An article on History News Network.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, oh, you read the article, good.
Yeah.
And, you know, we tend to think that presidents and vice presidents always get along.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not public where you know they're disagreeing. But I found 19 times that presidents and vice presidents did not get along, and it starts with John Adams, with Thomas Jefferson, who was his vice president. And by the way, I want to correct something that was stated.
Sure.
About Adams as the first 12 presidents to not have slaves.
Right.
Is not correct. His son, John Quincy Adams, also did not have slaves, and also Martin Van Buren from New York did not have slaves. So three of the first 12 presidents did not have slaves. So
I stand corrected.
And Van Buren, just to clarify that.
Thank you. I stand corrected.
Yeah. Well, I think it was actually Scott that said that. So I'm just saying that I know he loves John Adams, who, of course, is the one who first promoted limitation of civil liberties, the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798,
right,
which is a major reason why he's not rated higher, because he was violating the civil liberties under the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, he was good in other ways, but he doesn't match up to Jefferson and Washington.
A little bit of a hypocrite.
He's against slavery, but that's not the only issue.
Yeah, right. I understand. But I was shocked some of the ones that you put in your article were not vice presidents that I thought had problems with their
yes, well, I'll go through the list.
Yeah, sure.
John Adams and Jefferson, and then Jefferson and Aaron Burr, who was trying to steal the election from him,
yeah,
in the House of Representatives, so they didn't get along. That's the second case. John Quincy Adams with John C. Calhoun. Who would get along with John C. Calhoun? He was a monster anyway, as far as I'm concerned.
Is that right?
Yes, and then Andrew Jackson with Calhoun, because he inherited Calhoun. Calhoun jumped ship and went to Jackson, but they always had a civil war going on because of the nullification crisis, which he resigned over Calhoun. So he was a real monster. Okay, now after that, it was much more quiet when you didn't know about the disputes. So we have Buchanan and John C. Breckinridge. Buchanan, which I know you're going to be portraying,
yeah,
they didn't get along very well, and Breckinridge later ran for president in 1860, and Buchanan decided not to run.
Yeah.
They didn't get along very well. Hannibal Hamlin with Lincoln, I think they got along all right, but Mrs. Lincoln really hated Hannibal Hamlin.
Yeah, I read
it. Dropped the ticket for Andrew Johnson. What a blunder.
I thought that was interesting that it was the first lady that hated him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Charles Fairbanks, the T.R., Theodore Roosevelt vice president, his full term, Roosevelt labeled him a reactionary machine politician and refused to give him any significant role, and he backed Taft to be a successor, not his vice president, Charles Fairbanks.
Now, I had never heard that, ever, that he didn't like his own president. That was
vice president, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean the two men didn't get along there.
Right.
He didn't like the progressive stuff Charles Sam Banks that CEO is promoting.
Yeah.
So, but you would think a vice president would be the one he would say, I'm not running, why don't you run?
Yeah.
But he actually backed William Howard Taft instead. And then Thomas Marshall under Woodrow Wilson, who was a very difficult person to be with because he always thought God was behind him. You know, he was one of those overly religious presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he had his stroke, Thomas Marshall was not informed about his health, and Mrs. Wilson ran cabinet meetings. Can you believe that?
Yes, I guess I can.
And then Charles G. Dawes under Coolidge, they didn't get along, and part of it was because Dawes won the Nobel Peace Prize for the Dawes plan that allowed Weimar Germany to restore and stabilize its economy, and so he got a little more fame, and they just didn't get along very well because Dawes wanted the McNary-Horgan Farm Relief Bill, and Coolidge vetoed it, so Dawes declined to even attend cabinet meetings.
What do you think would happen if Pence had gotten the Nobel Peace Prize instead of the... If Pence had gotten it instead of
Believe me,
Trump.
He's never going to get the Nobel Peace Prize. He's not classy enough to gain that. No, but I could imagine if anybody outshone Trump, yeah. Well, Trump even said he should have the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes, that's why I brought it up, yeah.
Now, I got to admit, Obama getting it the first year, this seemed a little ridiculous. I could not really agree with it. I'm glad he got it because I like the guy.
Yeah.
But honestly, it wasn't right. But, you know, it's a political thing like anything, so he got it.
Yeah.
But I think that was probably silly that he got it. But
well, he was a terrifically nice guy, too.
Oh, he's such a classy guy. He looks better all the time.
Yeah.
Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But my God, he's still one of the star figures. You know, the top, you know, in my mind, he's in the top 10 now in many polls. And I just took part in a new survey that'll come out later this year, ranking all the presidents, including Joe Biden. So it'll be interesting to see where Obama ends up or where Biden ends up after 1 year.
That will be, who's running that poll? Can you tell me?
It's the Siena College Research Institute.
Oh, that's pretty
Siena
good.
Siena College Research Institute. They do it after every new president's in for a year. They did it in 2018. Now they're doing it now. And I participated on the first day, which was President's Day. They put it online, and I did it. I don't know when it's going to come out, probably in a few months. But they asked historians, political scientists, and journalists to participate, and they asked me, which was very nice. You know?
That's quite an honor. Yeah.
Yes, because they wrote me at Florida Atlantic and my private email, you know, my regular Gmail, so I was very flattered about it. Okay, next is John Nance Garner, FDR's first two terms vice president. He didn't like the New Deal programs. He worked against it. And then he tried to run in 1940, but FDR chose to run again, so he wouldn't run with him, Garner, for the third term. So Henry Wallace became a vice president, so they didn't get along. And then LBJ under Kennedy really was not happy. Robert Kennedy intervened and didn't allow LBJ to do much of anything. They didn't get along. And then Johnson mistreated his own vice president, my hero, Hubert Humphrey, making him speak up on the Vietnam War when he didn't agree with it, but he had to do that in order to have any input with LBJ.
Yeah, I remember.
And then Agnew, under Nixon, of course, he's horrendous. Agnew did a lot of the dirty work for Nixon, attacking liberals and the news media. But then, you know, the fact is, it turns out that Nixon was actually irritated that he was getting a lot of attention. Imagine that, just a little like if Pence had been that way with Trump. He didn't like the attention Agnew was getting, but he actually promoted it by allowing him to attack the news media and liberals. So, you know, he couldn't please Nixon.
Do you think that Nixon knew what Agnew was doing on the side?
I don't think he did, but he abandoned him immediately. He would not even consider, you know, to try to speak up in support of him. As they say, Nixon allowed Agnew to swing in the wind. He was using tobacco when the first hints of the Agnew troubles emerged. He resigned, and after that, he would never, Agnew, want to talk to Nixon again. One time, in retirement, Nixon called Agnew, and Agnew's wife, answered and said, "My husband would not speak to you." because he was so upset that Nixon didn't back him after he had done his dirty deeds, as you would say.
Yeah.
Which is, in a way, true that Nixon didn't really care about what others did for him. He don't like a Trump, really, quite a bit.
Do you think a lot of presidents are like that? I mean, they're so self-absorbed.
Personality. I think it's true in a lot of cases, but not all.
Yeah.
Then Nelson Rockefeller had an unhappy time on the Gerald Ford because Donald Rumsfeld, who we know later is so infamous for getting us into the Iraq War, when he was, of course, Secretary of Defense, he was chief of staff to Ford, and he didn't like Rockefeller because Rockefeller was too liberal, which he was
in
the 70s. And so when Ford was twice threatened by women assassins, It caused horror among conservative supporters of Reagan and others. Oh, my God, we almost got Rockefeller in the White House. It didn't happen. So Reagan pushed the idea that Ford had to pick someone else once he was nominated over Reagan in 76. So he picked Senator Bob Dole of Kansas. But later, Ford admitted that he thinks if he had kept Rockefeller, he might have beaten Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, he might have, yeah.
Yeah, and then H.W. Bush, under Reagan, he was very careful not to antagonize White House staff because he was an important figure on foreign affairs. And when Reagan was shot, he didn't try to assert himself, which he really should have because he was next in line, but he didn't. He was important, but Nancy Reagan didn't like Barbara Bush, and Reagan never invited the Bushes to a private dinner at the White House.
Oh.
He's had in 8 years.
Jeez. That's interesting.
I mean, that was like not known until later, but you'd say, you're both partners for 8 years, and yes, you have events, and they're both there, both couples, but to have just say, George and Bob, why don't you come to the White House for dinner with us alone, but never happened.
Yeah.
So that's
crazy.
A little amazing. And then Dan Quayle was an embarrassment under H.W. Bush, and there was some discussion of dropping him in 92. And when Bush had a health crisis, atrial fibrillation, the news media was saying, oh my God, we're going to have Danny Boy as president because he came across as a moron.
Yeah, I never thought of him as a moron. I just thought he was a little on the silly side.
Well, when somebody's heartbeat away and acts the way he does and can't spell basic words, I think he is a moron.
Well, I like anybody that can't spell. I can't spell.
I said, why did you know how to spell? But if you're vice president, you should know how to spell.
I guess that's true.
That's so funny. All right, and then Al Gore under Bill Clinton.
Yep.
It was almost like a three-way thing in the sense First Lady Hillary was always in the way, so it caused trouble between them because Hillary was always intervening. And then, of course, when the Clinton scandals came, Gore was put on eggs how to deal with it, and then he didn't want Clinton to campaign for him over it. And that may have caused his defeat because he didn't even win Arkansas and Tennessee, Al Gore, which you think he would have. So they had a little shouting match after the defeat in the Oval Office, Bill and Al.
Well, I always thought that Gore was a very intelligent man.
Oh, yes.
And I always thought that Clinton is a very intelligent man.
And he was the youngest president, vice president
is that right?
ever.
Huh. Yeah.
45 and 44 when they took the oath. And they're both very intelligent. Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Have you overturned or looked up anything about our current president and vice president?
I think Joe Biden, it's hard to know. I do think Joe Biden is glad he picked Harris.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the media coverage is, a lot of it, unfortunately, is biased. The right wing has a lot of impact, and they act like as if like she's not very bright. But seriously, when you look at Dan Quayle, and you look at Dick Cheney was smart, but he was an evil man. You know,
yeah.
He was smart. I'll go to it in a minute. But when you look at Republican vice presidents from Agnew on, except maybe for H.W. Bush, what's so great about them? You know, I don't think Pence stands out in any way, except at the end when he actually did make the statement that he did what he had to do. That, you know, recently, that's what provoked this article by me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Harris is doing fine. I mean, you know, the vice president can only have so much impact because the office doesn't have much. And I think that she's handled herself as well as anybody could expect. And I think a lot of it's because she's a female and because she's mixed race. I really think if she was a white woman, it would be less, although still a problem.
Do you think that is a right-wing conspiracy to say that she is unhappy with her duties? And I've heard that, but...
Well, she might be, but I think she could... If she really is that unhappy, I think Joe is the kind of a guy you can talk to privately, and he would be considerate, because he is a man of empathy and decency, so...
And he was vice president.
I don't think it's that much of a big deal between them. I really don't.
And he was vice president, so he knows what she's going through. I mean, your powers are pretty limited.
Yes, but I must say Obama and Biden got along great, just like Carter and Mondale. There was no problem there. And actually, if you go back, William McKinley and his vice president, who died in office, Garrett Hobart, leading to Theodore Roosevelt in the second term, they got along splendidly, and Mrs. McKinley loved Garrett Hobart. And he was an important figure at the end of the 19th century. He actually played a role in the Senate beyond presiding, but then he died in 1899. If it hadn't been for that, we would have President Hobart, not President Theodore Roosevelt.
That was
a story, you know.
Yeah.
And then we have Dick Cheney, who had a big impact, but in the second term they had a falling out somewhat, and Bush, too, started to assert himself more. And he didn't always follow what Cheney said, so I consider they had differences. And Pence was obsequious and sycophantic, but actually his wife has never liked Trump. We know that. And so I think it was a suffering for years, but he was always keeping his mouth shut. But he finally spoke up about what he had to do on January 6th, and I give him credit for that.
Yeah, and now recently he's spoken even louder. I mean, he really came out and said he disagreed with Trump, whereas when he went and did what he had to do on January 6th, that was just a fact. He had to do that. That was required of by the law. But
yes, just like Harris will have to do on January 6th, 2025. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you know, I don't think it's going to help him in the idea of his running for president, but what's really annoying me is the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has come out as a Putin lover, just like our former president.
What
it's
is that?
Insulting that he could say the kind of things that now have been said by Trump about the Ukraine crisis. This is disgraceful. And of course, Tucker Carlson's doing it, and others on Fox News, and Josh Hawley of Missouri, Senator Hawley. These people are traitors, as far as I'm concerned. They're seditious. It's unbelievable.
What a terrific segue you just pulled off to get us into talking about Ukraine. Now, Ukraine is just outright scary to me.
Yes, and my ancestors come from Ukraine.
I knew that. I told my wife that.
And I wrote that on Facebook, and, you know, I don't know them, of course, but that's the heritage, and so many Jews in Ukraine died under the Tsar and then under Hitler. There's not much of a Jewish community, but there's an article in the New York Times today or yesterday about the Jewish community in Odessa, which is where my family came from, and I've never been there, of course, but to me, this is a personal thing beyond the fact that what is this idea that it's not a country? Because it wasn't for a while its own country, but you know what it's like? I heard somebody say, it's as if people like in the Pacific Northwest of the United States would say Washington, Idaho, and Montana and Wyoming would say, you know, we have a lot in common with people in Alberta and British Columbia. We should take those provinces of Canada and add to the United States. Do you think the people in those provinces of Canada would like that?
I doubt it.
I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. He is a menace. He is a real threat, and I'm worried we're going to have World War III.
Well, it scares me a bit, too. It's almost the missile crisis all over again.
It is. I think it's the greatest crisis since then. Yeah. And honestly, when I think about it, I say, if he goes beyond Ukraine, because we don't have to send troops into Ukraine, although I almost wish we could, but if he decides he wants to take back Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania, which were part of the Soviet Union, they're NATO nations, or he decides to go into Poland or Romania, which were, you know, part of the Soviet bloc, and now are all in NATO, that is World War III with combat troops on the ground.
Well, and I think that he's, one of the reasons why he's being so obvious about saying that Ukraine is not a NATO nation, but if something happens to a NATO nation, there will be hell to pay. And he's really basically come out and said that. I think that's pre-warning Putin that he better leave the NATO nations alone.
Yeah, but I'm not sure he's going to, you know, and if he's going to have backing of Trump and Pompeo and Hawley and I guess probably Kevin McCarthy and all those, although not everybody goes along with that. I mean, there are those Republicans that will not go along with that, you know, like Lindsey Graham is certainly not going along with that.
Right.
This is causing a bigger split in the Republican Party, even on the right wing. So this is a horrible, horrendous situation, and I'm fearful we're going to have a major war, and that's going to transform Joe Biden's presidency, as I wrote on my blog yesterday. This is a wartime presidency now.
Yeah, that kind of sometimes wartime presidents can make you as a outstanding president. Other times, it can kind of bury you, I think.
Well, of course it can. But I have to say, why is this occurring with Putin? I blame, not alone, but I blame Donald Trump and his being a sycophant to Putin for 4 years. I think this, if he had not been president and he really didn't win, there was Russian collusion, and nobody can tell me there wasn't. The evidence is there, even the Senate reports by Republicans in the last few years. So they all try to, like, overlook it or ignore it. But if it wasn't for him being in office and we had Hillary Clinton, who Putin was afraid of and hated, I don't think he would be so bold right now. So I blame Trump, and now he's supporting him on it. So what else do we need to know about locking this guy up for treason and sedition? What else do we need to know? Plus all the other things against him, including the civil suits about his properties and all that. This man belongs in prison in solitary. That's the way I look at it.
Well, what do you think, and that's my next question that I had written to myself, what would have happened had Trump won this election?
Well, he was already backing away from NATO, basically telling them not quite to go to hell. I think he would have withdrawn us from NATO, told them do whatever the hell you want. We wouldn't be, strong allies with NATO, which has kept the peace since 1949. I think he would be supporting him. So that would be a shocking thing to have a president say, oh, it's fine for the other side, as if they are democratic leaders in Russia, that they could just go in and take their neighbor.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads me to the next thing is, and people are going to not like that I say something like this, but what was Mr. Trump and is Mr. Trump in the back pocket of Putin? Are they paying him? Are they covering something up? Are they doing something?
I think he has financial ties that he owes money to them. That's what I think.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, but the man is so corrupt. And again, Nixon's horrible in so many ways, but I've had a number of people tell me, compared Nixon's a choir boy. I love that line.
Mm-hmm. Well, now...
Because Nixon would not have supported this. Oh, Reagan would be furious now. Or Joseph McCarthy. Not that I'm defending Joseph McCarthy.
Yeah. Well, now... Maybe there is something to what they called the P-tapes. Maybe Putin has some really ugly stuff.
I'm sure this man, yes, I do think so. And also, of course, with with the various women when his wife had just given birth to Baron.
Mm-hmm.
The man is, well, I'm not going to use the word I know Scott doesn't like, but you know what the word is starting with a D.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I'm not going to say D anything else, but you know what I'm getting at.
Right.
And I'm sure if Scott's listening or listens in, he'll laugh.
No, he's at school now.
Not the word, but you know what the word is.
He's at school teaching young minds what to do. So that's kind of scary right there.
Oh, my gosh. And now the thing is, Florida's trying to control what's taught in history.
Yeah.
And they want to, go after gay kids. And it's just, we have a nightmare in this state. And then we have Rick Scott, the senator, former governor, when he wants to think, well, DeSantis is the worst. He's making clear what his agenda is, that the Republicans win both houses, to try to make Social Security voluntary, to try to cut off Social Security and Medicare, and do all kinds of right-wing extremist things. And I'm just saying, where is the Titanic when we need it?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If I didn't have Social Security, I wouldn't have enough money to even drive over to this station. You know? Social Security has really helped the Coble family out.
Yeah, well, the Republican Party has always had issues. Not everybody in the party, historically, but a lot of them have always been against Social Security and Medicare from the beginning because it was done at the FDR and LBJ, and they were socialist, it said.
Yeah.
Well, that's socialism, which maybe it is in a way. That's wonderful. And anybody who's against socialism, stop accepting all the help the government gives of one's life. Not just those things, but so many other things,
I have talked to a lot of farmers who admitted to me, well, without the government subsidy on, they would be broke. Yeah.
Yep.
They would be now, the
everybody's
big farmers,
a billionaire or a millionaire, like baseball, where millionaires are fighting billionaires and there's no baseball season.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that lovely? All right.
That's terrible. It's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. How about the verdict on the hunting down and killing of Aubrey?
Well, of course, I think it's wonderful. And it's also the fact that it was a mostly white jury. That's good,
surprising,
that it should matter. But it does matter, because if it was a mostly minority, people would say, oh, it's because of the jury. Well, it's not because of the jury. These men, well, they're already going to be in prison for life. But now the issue is, should they be in a federal prison or a state prison?
Right.
They seem to want to be in a federal prison because they're better prisons. The answer is no. Have them in the state prison. Make it not so easy.
You're kind of vindictive there, Dr.
No,
Biden.
It's justice.
All right. I'm going to leave it alone at that. But I was surprised that they came back and made it a hate crime. I truly was surprised.
And it only took a few hours.
Yeah. Well, it only took a few hours for them to come up with the state verdict, too.
So this was only like 4 hours overnight, you know.
Well, yeah. the guys did themselves in by using the N-word and all sorts of language about black
people. Particularly the one who actually killed him, the son.
Yeah.
He is, it's just to think that there are people like this around us, and it could be not just in Georgia, it could be your neighbor, you don't know. It could even be where you live, you don't know.
Yeah.
So it's sickening, but at least there's a sense of justice on that. That's good.
One of the things that I put in our little article that talks about our show is that Germany has decided to halt the Nord Stream pipeline.
That's quite a statement.
That is.
It's going to affect them economically, but I salute Germany. Germany has come a long way, and you know, since, of course, when they were reunified in 1990. So I applaud that, because that's a major step. You got to really make Putin and his cronies and all those wealthy billionaires suffer, you know, and I think that's great.
About a week ago, I was listening to one of the Talking Head shows, and they were basically saying there's no chance in the world that Germany's going to want to halt that, because it's so important to Germany and Europe, for that matter.
It's going to affect the economy all around the world, so we're going to have more troubles, and that's what worries me, that people are not going to see beyond their own personal situation at the moment on inflation and not realize that this is something that's not just a moment. We have to consider the long-range effect of what's going on in Europe, because we could have, you know, the first real combat in Europe since World War II.
Yeah, well, now, Biden is getting the blame for the gas prices going up this week, and I guarantee you it has more to do with the problems in Ukraine than it has anything to do with President Biden.
No, but the thing is, if Trump was in, and the prices would still be going up, and we would have gotten out of Afghanistan in May, not August, when they all say, oh, we got out in August. He was arranging to get out in May, 3 months earlier. But they would, of course, try to figure out on Fox News how to make it look like it's not his fault. But it's circumstances. You cannot control everything at the same time. You can't.
What's with, like, Tucker Carlson? What's with those people saying that Putin's, you know, basically he's a good guy. He's a smart guy.
They don't care about Ukraine and the people of Ukraine. So they just, you know, if he wants to bomb them and kill and cause made some problem of refugees and lots of people killed, they don't care. What kind of people are these? People like him and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and all the Trumpites, you know, including the Congress.
I thought they were starting to slide a little bit towards reality, but it doesn't seem, lately it doesn't seem like it when they're supporting Putin.
It's really terrifying when you think about it.
It is. Interesting, talking about Trump, interesting thing is that Trump's Social Truth media network kind of blew up on him.
Yeah, there's no truth in the name. Well, the main thing is, as he would see it, or he wouldn't say it, as long as people sign up and they pay money, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
All he's doing is raising money, so he keeps on saying he's going to run, and he has that money so he can use it for his lawsuits that he has to face.
Yeah.
But people are so gullible, they're really stupid, you know, that they would give him any money or sign up in any way. But I do sense that the percentage of people that back him is declining rapidly.
I think you're right,
And I do not think he's going to be able to run or that he will run, because he's a lazy lout. He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to know anything. And what did he ever do in the White House? He didn't know what that was going on. He was ripping up things, flushing things, you know, the documents. That alone should put him in prison.
And when he got tired of his wife, he just found somebody that would go along with what he wanted to do, I guess.
And I'm sure in the White House someday we'll find out some of those women that worked around him ended up not just being workers around him. He probably had an affair with some of them.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain. This is the kind of a man he is.
I always forget her last name, but her first name was Rachel, and she was one of the ladies that... She was a young lady. Matter of fact, she ran at the same time I did for state representative. Rachel, what's Rachel's last name? Anyway, she was one of those that was kind of not terribly attacked by Trump, but he got off the elevator and he pushed her up against the wall and gave her a kiss, which she did not want. And she was one of the people that complained about him.
Before he was president, though, I guess.
Yes, that was before he was president.
Yeah, but I forgot the name now. I can't. The woman who was very loyal to him and then left and then came back. I forgot her name.
Yeah.
She was a major figure and very attractive. And I always wondered about, was there some kind of an affair between them?
Well, these guys, they just think that's owed them. What's with these guys?
Yeah, look, I also condemn Bill Clinton. It's not just a Republican like Trump.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is the kind of thing that ruined Gary Hart in 1987.
Yeah.
And it should ruin anybody, anytime. They should not, you know, if they're not in office already, you know, you can't remove them for that, like the impeachment of Clinton. That didn't make sense, you know, as far as removing him. But that's not acceptable behavior. But it's so common now, sexual harassment. It's beyond belief. And that's true in Hollywood as well.
Well, I think I might have even said on last week's show, I was once told when I was selling cars for a couple of years, the sales manager told me the way you sell a car is just like how you try to get a woman in bed. Yeah, and that was kind of the attitude of a lot of men back in those days. And that wasn't even that long ago. Oh, that wasn't that long ago. That was back around 2000.
And by the way, there's a new book out about the year 2000. I saw just it announced today that says how the year 2000 has such a dramatic effect on so much that has happened since and how negative it was, you know. It's just interesting. I thought about that. There's always these people who publish books on a year, and they've done a number of different, and it's like a great topic to go through a year and talk about what effect did it have on the future, you know.
So Y2K really was a disaster?
Yes, and of course one of them was that Al Gore won but didn't win because of Florida.
Yeah. Oh, he actually kind of he handled that with great panache. Yeah, and grace, yeah.
But he was yelling and screaming at Clinton after, and Clinton was saying, it's your fault because you had me campaign for you. And in a way, it's probably a mixed thing. It's probably true. Gore should have used Clinton more, but he didn't want to be associated with Clinton because of what had happened. But in a way, he might have won if he had used Clinton. That's true.
Well, no, this wasn't even on my thoughts to talk about, but do you remember the year 2000? Do you remember New Year's Eve of 1999?
Yes.
Everybody said that the world was going to explode.
Yes, Y2K, but it didn't happen, no.
Nothing happened. Not a thing happened.
Yes, but also, it was all very misleading, because actually, people were saying the year 2000, through the number changes, is the new millennium, new century. That is not accurate. The beginning of the century is the year one, not zero. Zero is the end of the last century.
Is that right? Is that technically, well, that's not how the computers see it, and that's what they were saying.
Listen to my students. You talk about the 1960s in American history. It's 1961 to 70, not 60, the year that Kennedy was elected. And they look at me, but I say that is the end of a decade or a generation if it's 20 years or a century or a millennium like 2001. So I said, I thought when they did that, they're doing it to make money, which is fine, but then when 2001 came along, they would repeat it, and they didn't repeat it.
Well, I owned
one is the beginning of a time period, not zero.
Well, I owned a business at the time, and it was a franchise business. And
you have so many things. You can't write your memoirs.
I have. And we got notification from the head of the franchise people that in December of 99, we were told, now you got to get prepared because at 12 midnight on 2000, all your computers will not understand that it's 2000. They will think it goes back to 1900.
That's funny.
And that's what they were scaring us with. It didn't happen at all. As a matter of fact, nothing happened. My computer just kept running.
Yeah, I'm sure that this book, it just came out, I'll probably get it, probably mentions about the Y2K situation. I'm sure it does in the first chapter. I don't know. But it sounded like a fascinating book. There's always new stuff coming out. And you mentioned Donald Trump was thinking of running in 2000, but didn't. So even he's mentioned in the book, you know, from this interview this morning on Morning Joe.
I'll be doing, I didn't know he was thinking about running in 2000. I knew that he had thought about it earlier. But
yeah, well, he was fighting with Pat Buchanan, who did run as an independent reform party, and then that messed up Florida because he was on the ballot, and people in Palm Beach County and Broward County, primarily Jewish, about 4,000 people, didn't know which hole to punch because the Gore hole was near the Buchanan hole, and they punched the Buchanan hole, even though he's an anti-Semite, which he is, and so that affected the result in Florida, and Bush won by 537 votes because of misunderstanding of the so-called butterfly ballot. It was infuriating.
Yeah, no, it sounded dirty, punching somebody in the butterfly hole.
Well, it was punching a hole. The thing is, it wasn't right next to Gore's name. It was misleading. Gore and Buchanan were near each other, and you didn't really study the balance. You thought, now I'm going to vote for Gore, and you punched the Buchanan spot. And so he got votes from people who would never vote for him if they had realized what they were doing. But whatever you do, you've done.
You got to remember hanging chads.
Hanging chads. I never knew chad was anything other than the name of a person.
Well, okay, let's talk on the last thing. We got about 9 minutes. Supreme Court, which is a 6-3 conservative court,
yes,
decided that Trump's, all of Trump's stuff had to be allowed.
Yes, thank God, even though the court is horrendous, and I've said it, because you know, they're taking on new issues all the time, which is going to backtrack on so much progress. At least on Trump, even the Trump appointees, they actually do work for the eyes of the January 6th commission, yes.
I was stunned. I really was. It would have been different had it come out, a one-vote thing, but I think it was 6-3, wasn't it? Something like that.
I don't know what the vote was because I certainly the Free Liberals, but I don't know. Actually, I have to look that up. I haven't actually looked up what the vote was. It wasn't 9-0, I guess. I thought it was everybody.
Oh, it may have been. I thought it was 6-3.
I just haven't had a chance. See, so much goes on so often.
Yep.
Life goes on like I lecture, I still teach, I have things to do at home. We all are busy, so you can't catch everything the minute it happens. You know,
you
miss out on some things.
You mean you have a
life?
It's
so complicated, the world these days, you know?
You have a life? That's not right. I thought the only life you had is coming on my show.
Well, it is a highlight. I must say that.
Oh, I'm certain it is.
Seriously, you know, I love this show.
Now, the Supreme Court, I was shocked, and I think people should understand, even some of the jerks that are on the Supreme Court right now can't go against what is obviously the law, can they? I mean,
they can do whatever the hell they want, I'm sorry to say.
But I think if they want to have any, people talk about Supreme Court people for centuries, and if you want to have a legacy that's positive, not negative, and had they gone against this, they would have really been saying you don't have any right to find out anything about our presidents.
I looked it up. It says it was a brief unsigned order issued without comment, so there was no actual vote.
Okay, all right.
So it was at least 5 of them, but probably all 9, probably, but there was not actually a vote,
So they can have an unsigned order that really...
Yes, they do that a lot lately. That's a new tactic, which I'm not sure in general is a good thing, but
so
the Supreme Court, it's its own bastard. It can do whatever the hell it wants, I'm sorry to say, and that is a problem.
So
they have too much authority to abuse their positions, really, in my opinion.
They can kind of hide behind saying what they believe, then.
Yeah, but also, none of them were actually voting where we know, so it's at least 5 of them, but I have a feeling it was all 9.
Okay. No, I hope
I don't know, because there's no vote on it, so I just looked it up on thehill.com,
Cool. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that, what do you think Trump will... Do you think they can really get all the documents? How difficult is it for him to stuff it down his toilet in Mar-a-Lago?
Well, I think they should send the FBI in to check his whole Mar-a-Lago estate, because I feel there's still things being hidden, and I think they should have the right to go in and go through every room and try to find everything possible. Apparently, he ripped a lot of things up or flushed things, but hopefully they have ways of recreating it. But this man is abusive of power in a way that Nixon would be indeed embarrassed about.
Yeah.
It's just beyond belief. You know, it really is. The man has no scruples, no ethics, no morals, no decency. And how anybody could still back him is beyond my understanding.
Now, I put the picture, the two pictures of us to this week. The one I put up of me, I couldn't remember what I told you I was going to put up, so I put up a picture of me when I was at a Black Lives Matter.
Right now, I guess because of the right wing, if anybody who doesn't agree with that, with that situation was to meet up with you, you might get punched in the mouth and say, what are you, a communist or something?
Yeah.
You probably would say that, but I applaud applaud you for that.
Well, it's okay, because I believe in being brave enough, and I'm not a brave person, but all you have to do is stand up for what you believe in. That's all I'm doing.
But now in Florida, people can apparently use their car if there's a demonstration they don't like to mow down people.
What's wrong with you?
It's their right to do so. Can you believe that?
Is that too much sun on the heads of the people in Florida?
It's the Republican Party in Florida, and the Napoleonic-type leader of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who's totally out of control. He really is.
Is he still popular in Florida?
Well, according to polls, he probably will win the governorship. I can't believe it. Charlie Crist is the three opponents running for the nomination. Charlie Crist, the former governor, I think, is right. The best one, and I certainly will support him. But it's really scary.
Now, wasn't Crist kind of a flip flopper as far as?
Well, he was a Republican. Yeah. He was governor for one term from 7 to 11. Then he became an independent, and then a Democrat.
Right.
So, yeah, he switched. A few people, others in history, have switched. I'm not 100% happy with him, but he, even as governor, he was, I think, a better than average governor, but he chose to run for the Senate in 2010 and didn't win, and then he became a House member from Orlando, and now he's running again for governor. But I think he is a decent man. He's not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
Joe Biden's not perfect either, but oh my God, am I proud of him, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he's ranked with all the presidents now that he'll be part of the poll from the for the new poll that's being
right.
done by Siena College Research Institute. Really anxious. I gave him fours. Five is the top and one is the lowest. I gave him fours. So I didn't put him in the top 10 necessarily, but I put him in the top third by putting him as four.
Yeah. Now,
and I put Trump as mostly one.
I didn't want to cast aspersions upon people that are considered flip-floppers. Flip-flopping is not a bad thing. It means it can be a bad thing, but in most cases, people that flip-flop have seen a light
yes.
of some sort. Yeah.
Yes.
And
the famous people, senators in history, have flip-flopped from one party to the
yeah.
other, and they've been star figures.
Yeah, and who was the famous flip-flopper? One of the presidential candidates. Well,
Theodore Roosevelt, of course, left the Republican Party and became the progressive boo-moose candidate.
Yeah.
And Martin Van Buren left the Democratic Party and ran as the free soil candidate in 1848, which was the forerunner of the Republican Party, anti-slavery and anti-slavery expansion,
yeah.
and TR in 1912. So I think them, neither one won, of course, but they affected the result, and they both were heroes for leaving their parties and running as third-party candidates.
Anybody that runs as a third-party candidate has got to have some chutzpah.
Yes, and honestly, I see someone among Republicans, I wouldn't vote for him, but Adam Kinzinger, I really see as someone to watch once he leaves
yeah.
the House this year. He's only in his 40s, he's very good looking, he's been in the military, he's got charisma, and, he's, of course, on the committee, and I think he's someone to watch, even as an independent candidate, to hopefully undermine the Republican Party.
And he apparently has principles.
Yes, so does Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
Liz Cheney would be more of a difficulty because she's a woman,
yeah.
and also because she's Dick Cheney's daughter.
Okay. Yeah. She can't shoot a shotgun straight at all.
Okay. I really think Adam Kinzinger is someone, and both of them are to be admired, yeah.
yeah.
Okay,
now,
we're down to our last 45 seconds. Time again.
Yeah, we're down to the last 45 seconds.
Yeah, looking forward to next week again, so
okay.
stay healthy and everything else.
I will try. I'll do my best, and thank you so much for coming on, and I really did enjoy your article on vice presidents versus
they
presidents.
They won't always getting along with the president, sometimes
yeah.
openly and sometimes behind the scenes,
yeah.
yes.
Everybody should read it.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's at HastingsNetwork.org under my name, Ronald L. Fineman, and I'm also on theprogressiveprofessor.com.
There you go. Have a great day, Dr.
Thanks.
Fineman. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Fineman, and you've been listening to A Progressive Life. I'm Glenn Coble, and I hope you have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP.